not to mention the minor fact that an officer with his experience should, perhaps, have been just a bit more careful about, spent a little more time thinking over, what he had recommended to Commodore Wellar. At first glance, Wellar's two ships ought to have had the advantage. There were two of them, after all. But that wasn't all that was involved here, not by a long shot. One of the Carizian Navy's new galleons would mount at least 50 guns, and probably more, to Archangel Chihiro's 40. Worse, they'd be heavier guns. Archangel Chihiro, like her consort, Blessed Warrior, carried 26 lizards on her gun deck, and 14 falcons on her upper deck. That might seem to give her 80% of the Carizians' broadside, and all of their guns not only had the new trunnions and carriages, but used the new bagged powder charges the Carizians had introduced, so they ought to be able to match the other ship's rate of fire as well. So far, all well and good, Martinson thought dryly. But the lizard's round shot weighed only a bit over 20 pounds each, and the falcons weighed less than 9, while, if the reports about the Carizians were correct, the other ship would mount long 30-pounders on her gun deck and short 30-pounders, what the Carizians called carronades, on her upper deck, which would give her over twice Archangel Chihiro's weight of metal. In fact, she'd carry a heavier weight of broadside than both the Desnarian ships combined in a much more heavily framed and planked hull. And that changed Abbott's earlier calculations significantly. Not only would each hit be far more destructive than he almost certainly had been expecting, but her heavier hull would take substantially less damage from each hit she received in return. Of course, two lighter ships, if well handled, ought to be able to outmaneuver a single opponent, and it was extremely unlikely the Carizian carried a big enough crew to fully man both broadsides, especially if she had to reserve hands to manage her own sails. If they could get to grips with her from both sides simultaneously, they ought to be able to overpower her in fairly short order. But while the sail-handling skills of Archangel Chihiro's crew had improved hugely since they'd left Desnair the city, Martinson very strongly doubted they could even come close to an experienced Carizian crew's level of competence. He felt fairly confident that, since the other ship had been cruising alone, with no one else in company with her, Abbott had assumed she was most likely a privateer, not a regular man-of-war. It would have been a reasonable enough assumption in many ways, and had it proved accurate, she would have been far more lightly gunned, while the quality of her ship's company would have been much more problematical as well. Besides, privateers weren't in the business of taking hard knocks if they could avoid it. If a privateer skipper had realized he was pursuing two Desnarian warships rather than a pair of fat merchant prizes, he would almost certainly have decided his time could be more profitably spent elsewhere. A Carizian Navy captain was likely to feel a bit differently about that.
But just how does the captain break the news to the Commodore? Martinson wondered a bit sardonically. Excuse me, Commodore, but it turns out that's a war galleon back there instead, and I'm just a bit less confident about beating her than I was about beating a privateer.
The lieutenant snorted mentally.
Sure, I can just hear him saying that.
No, Abbott wasn't going to risk pissing Wellar off by turning cautious at this point. And since Wellar lacked the seagoing experience to realize exactly how weight of metal and especially relative ship handling skills really factored into a sea battle, it was unlikely he was going to recognize just how dicey this entire situation could turn. He certainly wasn't going to decide to try avoiding action at this point, not without Abbott suggesting it, at any rate. Which meant things were going to get just a bit lively in the next 2 hours or so.